I'm glad I'm still considered young. I have to keep reminding you to keep saying it. My yoke is easy. You know, one of the greatest blessings that Jesus gave us is that he gave us tangible analogies from everyday walks of life to help us understand and appreciate him better. However, sometimes, you know, us living in the 20th century here may not completely understand the illustrations for the contemporary Jew of Jesus' time. And I think, if not dug into, the picture of the yoke, you can miss some of the fine details of that. And so that's what we're going to bring to you today. So if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. It's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And brethren, I anticipated through the convention that all the brethren were going to steal my scriptures. So I made sure I used all a bunch of different translations so that it sounds slightly different. So I'll be reading this from the New Revised Standard Version. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, brethren, let me tell you what I'm going to try to impress upon you today. Number one is the given rest, which he speaks of in the beginning. Number two is carrying the burdens. Number three, we'll discuss the yoke, what kind of a yoke it was, and how the yoke is used. Number four is the second rest, which is the found rest in Christ. And the fifth and the most important point is learning of him. So we'll start with the given rest, which is brought about in the 28th verse. And to help illustrate this, I'm going to give you an action picture here. Because Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. So I'm going to ask Brother Tony to step forward. And he's going to come unto me, and I'm going to give him rest. Go in peace, Brother Tony. Brother, this may seem like a quaint little scene here, but it's that simple. It's that simple for Jesus. He says, all you have to do is recognize me for who I am, your Savior. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Now, when he said, give you rest, what does that remind you of? If you were to put one word on that. Well, that's not the one. But the word I'm looking for, it's a gift. It's a gift. There's nothing Ethan can do to earn it. He gives it to you free of charge. Even though it has cost him and has cost his father nearly everything precious to them. So remember, brethren, that when we come unto him, it's just a gift. There's nothing you do to earn his forgiveness. Well, let's see. Let's skip over that. Okay, let's move on to the burdens. Jesus gives us the analogy of carrying the burdens. Now, what do you picture in the scene when Jesus talks about carrying the burdens? I can think of two things off the hand. You think of the oxen, right? The oxen, and you have two oxen put together. There's the yoke that goes around each of the shoulders. But there's another one, too, and I believe that this other picture of the yoke, and this is the yoke used by people. They have the yoke which goes around the neck, and it spreads out, and they carry the burdens with them. And I believe this is the burden that Jesus is referring to here. But either understanding can bring you to what Jesus is trying to impress, whatever you choose to believe. Now, for the Jew, there's a very good example of a yoke that they were under. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 through 48. So the Jews, they really understood the analogy of the yoke, and that's what I hope we can come out of here understanding today. Deuteronomy 28, verses 47 through 48. Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and with gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. I'm going to stop here for a minute and call your attention back to the thoughts that Brother Tony had. This is the kind of bringing out the joyfully, gladness of heart. This is the love affair that we're supposed to have with our Father and with our Lord Jesus. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and lack of everything. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. And boy, isn't that a perfect picture of what happened to the Jews and with the Roman yoke. And they eventually were, the nation was destroyed. But that's their own fault, just because they did not pay attention to the precepts of God. But however, that's not the burden that Jesus is referring to. For his burden, he's referring to the religious yoke, which was placed upon them. And this yoke was placed upon the religious rulers, and obviously you can imagine this would be the Pharisees. And Jesus describes this yoke in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verses 2-4. Matthew 23, verses 2-4. The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do it as they do. For they do not practice what they teach. They tie heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves aren't willing to move a finger to help. Now, brethren, what this essentially, we can make a parallel for us today. And essentially what the Pharisees and scribes did was motivate, but they motivated how? With fear and with guilt. That was what they were best at. So, brethren, if you see any of your brethren trying to motivate you through fear and guilt and not willing to lift a finger to help, don't be bothered. This is not of Christ. You know, to the Israelites in Jesus' day, the law was just an endless set of rules. You know, you have all the thou shalt nots. You can't do this. Well, you can do this, but you can only do this at a certain day. And then on top of that, the Pharisees added all their little precepts. You know, for example, in our Thursday night study, we were just going over where the disciples went into the field and were, you know, just plucking the grain and eating it. You know, not a real big kind of a work for a Sabbath day. But the Pharisees had seven statutes which you had to follow for just doing this gleaning the sides of the fields. It was ridiculous, brethren. The Jews were just completely weighed down under this yoke. And this provides us now, we can take a look into our own modern day here. What kind of religious burdens do we have today? You know, I think all of us here have varying backgrounds, and we all understand the religious burdens placed upon us. Some of it is, in order to approach Jesus, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. The analogy of which Brother Mike Knapp uses, and I like, is instead of in the baptism, we if you can use that as the analogy of a bath, sometimes brethren approaching Christ think they have to take a shower before they take their bath. So they think they have to get all cleaned up, and then they can go get baptized. That's a burden. So one of the biggest ones I struggled with, and perhaps you have too, is works just to earn God's favor. You have to do this, you have to do that in order to be a good Christian. These are the things you should be doing. As you come to understand, some of us have come from very oppressive organizations that they say, you know, you have to do everything the way we do, and we tell you to do, and you can't think for your own. One of the last ones, which many of us who float between the Bible student organizations, we have a fear perhaps of speaking differently on the doctrine for fear of rejection. A lot of us face that all the time. But these are yokes that are not of Christ. Christ's yoke is easy. You know, the key to being a successful Christian is letting go of this practice of religion and the practicing of carrying out of Jesus' own commands. And, you know, of course, John is just flowing with that subject. And in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, there's an example of how to carry out Jesus' commands and forgetting about all else. It's a bigger context than this, brethren, but I'm just going to read these three verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. This is love for God, to obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Have you gotten to that point yet, brother? Where carrying out the commandments of God is not a burden. But this is speaking of the love affair which we have, the bride has with the Christ. And we're going to talk about that later. Okay, let's move on now to the yoke. I don't know if you've pictured much of the yoke or if you've ever used anything similar to it, but if you can imagine picking up 250-pound weights by your hand and moving it along, it's a very difficult thing to do. Now, the idea of the yoke is to have the weight borne here, but it's also the weight is spread out across the whole cantilever of the yoke. So if I were to take those same 50-pound weights and put them way out here, it's much easier to carry. And that's the whole purpose of the yoke. Now Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Now what does that mean? It doesn't mean that there's going to be no effort. But what it does mean, the word in the Greek, and I won't ask Brother Andrew to pronounce it, but the word means kind. His yoke is very kind. Completely opposite of the Pharisees. The Pharisees' yoke was, you know, was dreadful. Nobody even wanted to bear it. Now, where do you think you get a yoke in Jesus' day? It's not like you go to the Kmart and they're lined up on the shelves, right? You have to go to somebody who makes the yokes. And if you needed one for either your ox or yourself, you would go to this yoke maker. And what this yoke maker would do is that he wouldn't just have a standard off the shelf thing. He would take the measurements around you and measure your shoulders, and then he would rough it all out, and then he would place it on you. And of course, it's never going to fit right the first time, just like kind of a tailoring process. And then they would make minor adjustments to the yoke until it fit just like it was part of your body. It is then that the yoke becomes a welcome aid instead of an instrument of a burden, so to speak. Now, does anyone know who made yokes?
Yoke makers.
Carpenters. Now, does this sound familiar, brethren? Who was a carpenter? Jesus was a carpenter, right? Now, there's a legend which I like, and it has no bearing in fact, or at least it's not provable by fact, but I like it anyway. And that legend was that people would come from miles around to go to the shop of Joseph and Jesus because he made the best yokes in all the land. Now, being a perfect man, I find that very believable. You can make your own mind up for that, but I think it's very good. So what Jesus is telling us is that he's not giving us standard off-the-shelf yokes to carry our burdens. He's giving one that's finely tuned for you and you and you. He knows everything about you. He knows all the bumps that you have back here, and he's not going to put on something that's hard to carry. It's meant to make things easier, brethren, and that's what Jesus knows about us. So you would think, you know, having had this knowledge, it would be very easy to walk around and carry out the Lord's will, and everything would be an effort, but not a great effort. But why isn't it? Sometimes we kind of go back to and put on the other yoke, which we have grown up with in our own religious circumstances, and we put it on, and we forget to put on His yoke. And brethren, we have to keep reminding ourselves that we got to toss that yoke aside, and preferably burn it, and take His yoke upon us. What time do I have to, Brother Chisholm?
About half of the time that he would take.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to have to speed this along a bit. Let's move on to the found rest. Now, Jesus, obviously, He's giving us two different rests to think about here. And the found rest is the one we find when we're using His yoke. We're walking along carrying around His burdens. Now, I believe this is a very important point, because now we're beginning to see where, and the word I like to use is affection. This is the affection that we have for our Lord Jesus. I've talked to other brethren here, and some have said it's the love affair. It's I can't remember some of the words they use, but that's the motivator for me. I'd like to read you a quote from William Barclay. I think it illustrates the point well. Jesus says, "My burden is light. As a rabbi had it, my burden has become my song. It is not that the burden is easy, but that it is laid upon us in love. It is meant to be carried in love, and love makes the heaviest burden light." When we remember the love of Jesus, we know that our burden is to love God and to love men, and then the burden becomes a song. There is an old story of a man who came upon a little boy carrying a still smaller boy who was lame upon his back. And the man said to him, "That's a heavy burden for you to carry." And the answer came back, "That's no burden, that's my wee brother." The burden that is given in love and carried in love is always light. So brethren, seek to cultivate your affection with Christ, because it is then you'll find the burden is light. I guess we'll skip all that.
Get a couple minutes.
Okay. Let's get to our key points. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, or I am gentle and humble of heart. Brethren, how many verses in the Bible do you know that describes Jesus' heart directly? There's one. It's this verse. Of all the descriptions you could think that describe Jesus' heart, would you have come up with this? But this is the one description. This shows us how tender Jesus is, how much He cares. It is not the heart of the Lord and Master. It is the heart that is meek and humble. Now, how do we learn? How do we learn of Him? I think the illustration in the tabernacle type is very good. I'm going to give you an alternative to the one that we've learned. When we approach the gate of the tabernacle, is it 5x20? It is hung on how many posts? 4 posts. And I would suggest to you that these 4 posts represent the 4 Gospels. Now, if you're going to introduce a person who's notorious for various means, how would you do that? Sometimes it's not easy to do that person to person. What would you do? You would give them biographies, perhaps. And that's what we have in the Gospels. And these biographies each have a different slant on who Jesus is. You know, the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as the king, and the king with authority. John presents Him as the Son of God, who came from heaven. Luke, which I haven't really defined for myself yet, but shows us how to do the works of God and seeing Jesus' works. And Mark shows the affection of Jesus and His tenderness. And you'll read, if you look and contrast the different Gospels of a same narrative, you'll see they're all different. Now, brother, when you do that, try not to combine them all the time, but try to see why they're different. You know, because Mark will show you His tenderness, and Matthew will show you His power. Let me give you one example. Boy, I thought I'd have more time. This is in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 41. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and said to him, "I am willing. Be cleansed." See, brethren, that's the Jesus we need to know. We have so many aches and pains spiritually, and they're all different from one another. And all we have to do is approach him and say, "Jesus, are you willing to help me here?" And what's he going to say? "No, I'm too busy." He's going to say, "Of course. You know, I've been waiting for you to ask." So that's the way we have to know Jesus through his word. We have to know Jesus how he acted here on earth. Okay. Well, I'll give you one quick example before we close. Back in September, our cat of 10 years died. Now, you know, to a lot of brethren, that may not be a big deal, but I've always been an animal lover, and it was a big, big deal to me. However, I didn't think it was a big deal to Jesus. I didn't think, you know, a pet was something he is interested in, and I never brought it to him. Yet he still had mercy. It was a Thursday night meeting. The next day, I had to go put him to sleep. And in our Matthew study, we came across the verse of, help me here, this is the sparrows, thank you, the sparrows of the Lord knows the very hair of your head. He knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. And brethren, I took that as a gift from Jesus, telling me that he cared about my pain, even on the level of a pet. Now, if he cares for us on the level of a pet, how much is he going to care on the level of a spouse, of a loved one, or of any pain that we may have? So, brethren, Jesus cares about your struggles. He cares about the burdens you carry. And I am convinced that no matter is too small to bring to him now. His yoke settles comfortably on your shoulders. His burden is manageable, just like the brother earlier in our story. Brethren, we'll close with Hebrews 4, 15 to 16. For we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So, brethren, the final thoughts I have for you are in a song, which has helped me numerous times, and I hope you too will find it as uplifting as it has been for me. I'd rather fight you the sinner's door.
Listening to Brother Andy Weeks, a thought struck me as I'm looking at my notes. We have two Andys on this sermonette. The first Andy is removing the burden.
Well, dear brethren, I'm gonna try to go through this kind of quickly here. And,
can you speak a little louder, Andy?
Okay.
Okay.
I thought I'd talk about the book of Jonah today, and I wanted to focus primarily on the first and second chapters. And I thought this book was interesting because it has points that are interesting from a character building standpoint, or I'll say more from a standpoint of our personal experience. And also, that it's a book that's prophetic. Let's see here. Okay. Now, you know, one thing that's interesting about Jonah is we know that the Lord cared for Jonah very much. And we can see that in that the Lord arranged so many providences. He intervened.